Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, wrapping up hour number one. Glad you could be with us up until 9 o'clock this evening. Thanks to Zayden Gamble, junior defensive back from St. Thomas Aquinas, for joining us in our last segment. He's doing a tremendous job and did a great job at the Under Armour game. But right now, the focus in South Florida is on this Thursday evening in Arizona, University of Miami in the semifinals of the college football playoffs. Who would have thunk it? Certainly early on in the season when we were in the press box at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, losing to Louisville and then losing to SMU, you figured out, you know what, let's just play out the string. Let's go to growth. Miami is one win away from being a host. And I know I can see it now. I remember back in the day, oh, you only won this national title because you played in the Orange Bowl and all that stuff. Who cares, okay? If you get there, you get there. One guy who's been on with us all year, we've been talking about this, whether it be on this show or in the press box at the at Hard Rock Stadium, is Gio Milian. Nobody covers the Hurricanes more ardent than he does, and he is kind enough to join us. Gio, one game away from being in a place we never thought they'd be.
Yeah, it's been quite the ride. You highlighted the Louisville and SMU games, especially after SMU. I mean, who would have thought Miami got to this point this year? But they certainly did. They corralled everyone together. They've made doubters believers. And I'll be honest with you, Larry. I know many people have their questions about the Ole Miss team they're about to take on. I think Miami already took down the toughest opponent in their bracket with Ohio State.
Maybe the top two teams, because, listen, remember Texas A&M was only lost one game coming in, and, they were a pretty good team, and especially on the road before 104,000 hostile fans. So Miami hasn't had the easiest road, that's for darn sure. And remember, if they would have – everything would have gone true to form, they would have had Georgia this week, which was certainly no, picnic as well. But I agree with you. I think that Miami has put everything into perspective. They've kind of like opened up the stops. We've seen the offense kind of open up a lot over the last six weeks. We knew the defense was going to be really tough. It's played tough all year, maybe one or two games where it got away. But I agree with you. I think Miami's been ready for this. I think they built for it. And this was what Mario Cristobal was saying when they were on the bubble as far as getting into the playoffs at all. Hey, we deserve it. We've played extremely well. We lost to SMU, a team that, we should have. Listen, they held them to minus yards rushing going into overtime. And, and certainly the Louisville game where they turned the ball over four times, Gio, and they were still in the game into the last drive. So, obviously, Miami has that type of team. Talk about what you expect this week. And certainly, I think, obviously, Trinidad Chambliss is a great quarterback, but Miami's played some really good football teams this year. And certainly, you could make a case for everybody who's left in the Final Four that everybody might be a team of destiny, from Indiana to Oregon, now Ole Miss, who got abandoned by their head coach, and then Miami, a team that a lot of people, and I keep remembering this after week five, and listening to Kirk Herbstreit and all these quote-unquote, gurus of the game, they said after 5 weeks that Miami was the best team after 5 weeks and it wasn't close. And I kept thinking to myself, what changed? What changed? Talk about where Miami sits, because I think right now that they have the talent and to take this thing all the way.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Look at this. I think it's interesting enough. You mentioned about the other three teams still remaining at this point between Ole Miss, Indiana, and Oregon, along with Miami. The funny thing about that is Indiana and Oregon, they both have never won a national championship. And then Ole Miss, the last time they won a national championship, you have to go back to the 1960s. So it's been a very long time for one program and basically never for the other two. So Miami's the only program coming into this that has been there before and plenty of times as well, playing for national championships between the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. I'm sure we all know that very well. But sure. I think Miami has shown that they belong here. They absolutely have. That was my biggest thing for Miami coming into the playoff was win or lose, show that you belong. They've proven that they've belonged. And my thing about Ole Miss, I know many people are terrified about the matchup with Trinidad Chambliss. And yes, he was on fire against Georgia, but there's other ranked teams that he played this year that he didn't have the greatest of all games. So is Lightning going to strike twice? Is he going to have another historic night against Miami's defense? I would be hard pressed to think so. Actually, I think Miami matches up very well with them. Ole Miss has some problems up front in the trenches, especially the offensive line. If you go back and watch their tape against the Bulldogs just this past game, I know Georgia didn't come out on top, but I think maybe Georgia was a little too aggressive on defense and gave Ole Miss too many chunk plays.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, here's another thing, too. You know, I thought after beating Texas A&M, Miami be so sky high and, oh, you know, just say, hey, you know what? That's it. I mean, we won. People doubted us. But they went into the Cotton Bowl, Gio, with a whole different frame. And I think that you're going to see the same thing this week. It's a workmanlike type of deal. They're not taking anything for granted. They're not going to say, hey, you know what? There's no consolation prizes here. We win this thing or we don't win this thing. And that's, you know, you look at Mario Cristobal, his mindset, the coaching staff, and obviously this defense. Corey Heatherman, and you and I talked about this several times this year, what a great job he did. He utilized a lot of talent. But again, remember the key pieces that were added this year in the secondary, you know, with the Jacoby Thomases and guys like Mohamed Touré, who people don't really talk much about, but he leads the team in tackles. And he's a guy that used to play for Heatherman at Rutgers. So obviously he knew a lot about him. So the pieces that were added on the defensive side, because I know you and I agree that if they had last year's offense with this defense, geez, they may be able to to beat the Raiders. I mean, you know, I mean, it was amazing how much talent they had on offense, but their offense has come around to the point where they're mixing things up. Obviously, you know, people are waiting for Carson Beck to put these 300-yard gains, but he doesn't have to. He's managing the football game. He's not throwing any interceptions. He's letting the ground game. Mark Fletcher's come around in a major way. You know, they're running the ball extremely well. You know, even when Malachi Toney acts like a freshman, which hasn't been much this year, but even when he does, there's other guys to pick him up. And I think that has been offensively the reason why Miami has been able to do this, because they're not relying on one guy and they're using a lot of different facets to get it done. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree with you. From Mark Fletcher on down to, and now that they have CJ Daniels back, Keelan Marion has made some key plays for them down the stretch as well, especially in terms of moving the chains. I think that's such an underrated aspect to his games. You constantly see him picking up first downs. Malachi Toney, even though he hasn't had the biggest impact in the playoffs, I'm sure that's coming. And reason why I'll say that is I think Miami may have already played the best secondary that they'll face in the playoffs from the Ohio State group. Ole Miss, they have questions with their back seven. They're pretty stout on the interior with their two defensive tackles. They have one of the better linebackers in the SEC and Suntarian Perkins, but they don't create a lot of turnovers. They don't do too well against the passing game, too. I think Miami, the ways that they could attack Ole Miss on the perimeter, on the perimeter. I think this is a game where we could even see Gerard Pringle flash a bit more again, as he did late in the season. And just flipping over defensively how Miami matches up with Ole Miss, I think they have to contain Trinidad Chambliss. I think they need their defensive tackles to be able to create pressure on the interior. And in terms of the secondary, I mean, it's a huge boon for the defense that it's anticipated you're getting Damari Brown and OJ Frederick back for this matchup, because Ole Miss, they have five receivers who have over 500 receiving yards this season.
Yeah, well, like you said, timing is everything. I look for, I really do. I look for Miami to be at home on the 19th, which would be great. And, whether they play or because I sat through the Oregon game last week with, that game against Texas Tech. It wasn't the most entertaining game in the world, but I did see an Oregon team, that's a little bit more focused. Gio, let everybody know how they can follow, because obviously social media wise, you guys do a great podcast. And I know you have something leading up in the next couple of days.
Yeah, everyone can follow me on X at Gio Milian. I'm on various different shows as well. Mostly I do a lot of the Caneswear podcasts with Brett and those guys. Make sure to shop at Caneswear. Get your Miami gear out there. Right there in Davie, Florida, right by the Hard Rock Stadium. Hopefully and willfully enough that Miami makes it to the national championship. It's a short drive from Hard Rock Stadium.
Yep, not far at all. Gio, I can't thank you enough. Happy New Year. Appreciate you as always.
Thank you, Larry. Anytime.
Good stuff. Gio Milian will wrap up hour number one. Do not go away. We have some really good guests coming right up until 9 o'clock.